It took a while for my thoughts to coalesce, if that is might not be too generous a description for my sermon this week. It was one of those weeks when my distraction levels were high. And despite the meat that's there within this week's lections, there was nothing that really stood out as I read the reading set for today. So I decided to sit with them for a while, to reflect on them while I walked, which I did a fair amount this week, or when I had a few minutes to spare, such as on the ferry coming back from Vancouver yesterday. We won gold, by the way. I'm very excited about winning gold in my first dragon boat race. It was very good. So I sat with these readings. I spent time with the readings, and I said to myself, I'll do them on Saturday evening. I'll do a sermon on Saturday evening when I come back from Steveston. And then, with the sad news of the sudden death of our bishop's grandson, Carter, I wondered if I'd ever get any thoughts down on paper. I didn't know Carter, but I do know the family, and of course, my love and respect for Logan, my experience that I have of him and Marcia's love for their family, meant that I found this news rather overwhelming. I know we all send our condolences and our love to the McMenemy and the Bonsdorf families, and I would encourage you again to continue to remember them in prayer. For I'm sure most of us can empathize with the family, as many of us have gone through similar losses ourselves and share what that kind of heartbreak must feel like. And I wondered whether we should, in the light of our gospel reading, consider what it means to hold people with compassion and the importance of the gift of empathy, which our synagogue leader for today's reading seemed to lack. But I realize that simply saying that is probably enough. Keep praying, keep loving, keep in mind the humanity all of those with whom we share this spinning globe and our calling to love. So I sat with the gospel some more, and it started bubbling up feelings within me that I hadn't even realized were there. It brought to mind some of my experiences of being formed in faith and new things that I've learned, because I do keep trying to learn new things. I have to say, being in a congregation such as yourself, I don't have much choice but to learn new things. Particularly when someone such as Derek comes up to me and says, "Read this, Rector," a not infrequent occurrence. When I was young, I was terrified that the errand that my parents had sent me out for on a Sunday, whether to buy a loaf of bread or some milk for our rather huge family, was somehow wrong, that it was somehow against some set of divine rules I should be following. I'd not been taught that it was sinful to do such a thing, to go out and shop on a Sunday, but there was still a sense in which the UK, where I was brought up, in lumbering towards the blessed state now known as post-Christendom, still held on to what my reading of Victorian novels called the Sabbath. The majority of shops were still closed on a Sunday. The pubs, those havens of community for the English, were only permitted much shorter hours of opening on a Sunday, and pretty much everything else was quiet. And to use a North American idiom, tumbleweed country. This was also the era in the 1980s of big supermarkets and retail outlets pushing for Sunday opening. So there was in the church a feeling of a culture war going on. I feel they were pushing up against the vestiges of a dying world of Christendom. That world where once everyone was expected to conform to a particular way of understanding, and that an enforcement of the so-called Sabbath was present. The church and other agencies at the time were pushing back with their Keep Sunday Special campaign. And meanwhile, those of us caught in the middle, unconvinced with the arguments that true faith was somehow tied up with not shopping on a Sunday, yet still in a hinterland between secular and faith culture, continued to do the errands we had to do on a Sunday, and just carried around a bit of guilt with it. You might have noticed that guilt has passed somewhat if you saw me coming along clinging to my cup of coffee, the 8th Anglican sacrament, as I came in this morning. But my thoughts have moved on. They moved on to think about Sabbath. What is this Sabbath business that's at the heart of today's gospel reading? And it is at the heart of the gospel reading. We could argue that healing of a woman bent over for 18 years is, but healing is at the heart of the Sabbath too, as I read more and more about the challenge of Sabbath to us here today. I'm not wanting to revisit an era where everything was closed on Sundays as some way of showing that true faith is once again alive in post-Christendom. But nor do I think we can ignore the importance of Sabbath and what it really means. Theologian Walter Brueggemann calls the concept of Sabbath an act of resistance. It's important enough that he wrote a book on it called Sabbath as Resistance, Saying No to the Culture of Now, which is well worth a read. And it's important enough that Jesus is shown repeatedly, including in today's gospel reading, of challenging a particular understanding of Sabbath, as he apparently doesn't keep Sabbath in the way that it should be kept. Well, these stories of Jesus challenging this view of Sabbath have been used wrongly as a way of condemning faithful Jewish observance of Shabbat. Many people have used these stories over the centuries, many people who call themselves Christians, to talk of their superiority over their Jewish forebears, and to indulge in the false understanding that we call supersessionism, that Christianity is a superior replacement to Judaism, something which leads very quickly to anti-Semitism and the dehumanization of Jewish people, which is very wrong indeed. And then many Christians, for many years, the faithful observance of Shabbat, Sabbath, was replaced by a narrowly defined and very superficial understanding of Sabbath as don't go shopping on Sunday, but go to church instead, which lost the heart of the very profound understanding of what Sabbath is. Sabbath, as observed by the Jewish people, is not the empty observance of rules. Rules that say you can't work on the seventh day. It's a symbolic recognition of a deep reality, that human beings are not superior to God, and that human beings are not commodities to be used at day after day after day. In enacting out the rituals of Sabbath, a faithful Jew will be reminded of what it means to be in relationship with one another, as most of the observance happens either in family or in synagogue, in community, and what it means to be in relationship in divine with worship at the heart of life, to make space to be open to the life and to the refreshment of God. Sabbath is a symbolic reaffirmation of being made in the image of God, taking from the myth of creation in Genesis the calling to follow the divine example and learn to rest. Not just to avoid work, but rest. Rest in who we truly are, co-creators with God, bearers of the divine image, sharers in the work of life and health and healing and the stewardship of creation. Brueggemann writes, "The Sabbath rest of God is the acknowledgement that God and God's people in the world are not commodities." It's easy to see how Jesus' actions in healing today in the gospel story is not an act of Sabbath breaking, but of Sabbath reaffirmation. It's the work of a reformer, not a destroyer, of someone restating the deep worth of human beings enshrined in Sabbath observance, of restating the wish of the divine that we pay compassionate and loving attention to one another and to God. In Sabbath, the creation, all of creation, is given time to breathe, to be itself. Sabbath is a profound statement of healing. Not just about resting, but resting in God, recognizing our own value in being who we are, and recognizing the value of other human beings, and recognizing the value of creation. Again, Brueggemann expounds that divine rest on the seventh day of creation has made clear, A, that Yahweh is not a workaholic, B, that Yahweh is not anxious about the full functioning of creation, and that C, the well-being of creation does not depend on endless work. In fact, Sabbath is not just confined to individuals or even to human beings. The principle of Sabbath is enshrined in the calling to leave land fallow, to celebrate the Jubilee every 7 years and recreate the social order as an order of justice and equity, to take care in stewarding the earth and to proclaim and to live healing for humanity and the world. Without Sabbath, the Amazon and the Arctic burn. Without Sabbath, people work without rest. Without Sabbath, the value of every human life, stated so powerfully in the reading we had today from the prophet Jeremiah, is at risk of being lost. Without Sabbath, the value of life can be forgotten. Sabbath is for reflection, celebration, healing, compassion, fullness of life, justice, and engaging with the divine in worship, and of being prepared and made ready to share the work of God in ushering in wholeness to all creation, whilst at the same time recognizing this can only be done in partnership and in relationship. So how might we make Sabbath? I realized that even in my preparation for this talk, I had some Sabbath rest as I reflected and prayed through the readings in a way that sometimes I skip over and just dive in saying, I've got to get some words down on a page. We make Sabbath not necessarily by saying, well, there's one day a week that you can't shop, but actually saying there should be one day a week where we do things differently, where we gather in worship, where we gather as family, where we gather as friends, where we make space and time to be ourselves, where we go and sit and read and do the things that we often don't make time for, which allow us to be ourselves. Sabbath can be time that we interact, that we care, that we love, that we show compassion and live out the values of our gospel living in a certain way. It's time for each of us to consider again how we might live out these principles of Sabbath, engaging in the work of healing together, and how might true Sabbath be part of our way of being and doing as we move forward together. Amen.